Ty, it has been a while since we've talked, but since we've talked, there have been some new announcements. One kind of non-announcement in the tech world, but I think we should probably start with the death of Steve Jobs, who was one of, if not the most influential people in the tech world.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, it was a sad loss for anyone who's involved in technology or had the opportunity to use an Apple product. I know one of my first computers that I got to use in school was an Apple, and I mean, I remember on Wednesday night when I got the news, I was reading The Cat in the Hat to my 2-year-old son on the iPad, and one of my news apps gave me the news that he'd passed away.
I received it from a news alert from the Washington Post on my iPhone.
Yeah. Most people know Apple from the Macintosh.
Right.
The first computer with a graphical user interface. He didn't invent the graphical user interface. He saw it at Xerox and approached the people at Xerox about learning that technology. He got his developers in on it, and they created the Macintosh, the first personal computer with a graphical user interface, and it went huge. And again and again, we see that's the pattern that Steve had. He saw something that would make people's lives easier, and then he reached over back into the tech world where he still knew people and knew how to communicate and would tie those two things together and bring them to you. Most people don't realize the first laser printer was an Apple product called the LaserWriter in 85. And before that, people printing at home, that'll never happen.
Well, you know, all these things you mentioned are very influential, but so many people interact every day with the iTunes. iTunes. There are other digital downloads, but iTunes is the one that's ubiquitous.
Absolutely.
There are other smartphones, but if you're going to use, you know, if you're going to use a generic term for a smartphone, you say iPhone. There are other tablets, but iPad is the one people think of.
Right. That's one of the great things about Apple is the computing, the things that most people know them for aren't even necessarily computers, although you can certainly say that an iPhone and an iPad are a computer, but not in the traditional PC sense. Tim Cook, the new CEO, has big shoes to fill, and Apple is a team for sure. There's developers and there's brilliant people working for Apple, but that figurehead that existed in Steve Jobs, I don't think he's ever going to be replaced. They say Apple is very courtly in that you have a project and you work on it and then you bring it to Steve.
And he gives it
the thumbs up or the thumbs down. And so what the creative processes of Apple will look like now, no one knows yet. And I mean, hopefully Apple knows to some degree or another. I don't doubt that they'll continue to make quality products. But we'll see a shift of some kind for sure.
Well, it was just earlier last week when many people were expecting Apple to announce the date for the iPhone 5, but it wasn't the iPhone 5,
iPhone 4S, right. Some people considered it a bit of a letdown. Some people think, oh, there should have been more. But it's actually brought some really neat stuff to what was a great phone already. So they've got what's called the iCloud, which will allow you to sync all your stuff, and that's new with iOS 5. And so they're bringing in Cards, which is an app that will allow you to, I think for $3, send a postcard from your phone that involves a photo that you've taken from your phone, which is a fun new thing.
Wait. The postcard is a physical postcard?
It's a physical postcard.
So I will walk out to my mailbox and get a postcard from someone who's on the sandy beaches of Aruba.
And they took it with their phone and sent it from their phone.
And then it turns into a postcard that's in my mailbox.
Absolutely.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and there are other apps who do things like that. Like I believe Instagram has something similar to that. But Apple is now putting that into their phone. There's a big camera upgrade. They've gone from a 5-megapixel camera to an 8-megapixel camera. The video camera will now shoot 1080 video quality as opposed to 720 with the iPhone 4. So they put a lot into their camera with this one.
I have an iPhone 4. Why would I get the iPhone 4S? Okay, so I can't send a postcard. I can live with that. The camera and the video is better. But I've got a phone that does camera and video, so I'm still pleased with that. Would there be a reason that I'd want to not be using?
There's a couple quick practical ones. Faster processor. They've got an A5 as opposed to an A4. And they'll have 14 megabytes download speed. It's comparable to what people are saying is 4G. Mm. Technically, there is no 4G phone. People are marketing their phones as 4G, but that is marketing, as long as your service will carry it. So that speed bump's a nice thing. It's also going to be a dual phone, GSM CDMA, so you can take it anywhere in the world.
I don't know what those letters mean.
GSM and CDMA are two different cell phone technologies.
Ah.
GSM is what's used by the bulk of the world, mm-hmm. And AT&T and T-Mobile use GSM. CDMA is the technology used by Verizon, and I believe Sprint uses some form. But the big one that I really am excited for and don't fully understand the implications of is Siri.
Siri. S-I-R-I?
S-I-R-I. Is a technology that existed before Apple bought the company. And what Siri is it's a voice-activated, they say, personal assistant.
It's going to pick up my dry cleaning?
Not quite.
Okay.
But
all
it's
right.
going to do things to help make sure your dry cleaning gets picked up.
Okay.
So you speak to Siri and dictate a note to be sent to you or dictate a date to be put in your calendar or a reminder, and it'll do that. It goes beyond that because there are other things that are kind of dictation-based mm-hmm. software that do that. Siri is very intelligent and contextual. So, for example, I could say to my phone or to Siri, if you will, what's a good place for Chinese food in L.A.?
And it will give
an
answer?
And it will return based on its use of things like it plugs into Yelp and things like that. It'll touch its databases. Yelp is a social restaurant rating
right.
service. So they've plugged into any kind of things like that to where they can grab that information. It'll touch that information and go, he wants Chinese food in Los Angeles. This one's 4 stars. It'll give you a suggestion. So you say, what about Italian? It'll remember the context of restaurant and Los Angeles and look for Italian. So I got really excited watching the video because they show I'm a runner and they show a guy running and he's running along and all of a sudden his phone tells him he's got a message. So he has the phone read the message to him and then he says, put this in my calendar. Then the phone tells him, you've already got something going on then. Do you want to reschedule it? He says, yes, reschedule it and send a message to so-and-so about the reschedule.
This all happens
during...
And
the phone does it all. And he's just jogging along some scenic cityscape somewhere. And so instantly I'm just like, I got to have it, but I don't got to have it. I won't have it.
Right.
Because Siri doesn't come on iPhone 4, which is the one that I'm fortunate enough to have right now.
So you'd have to have the 4S.
You have to have the 4S for Siri.
That's how they get you.
That is how they get you.
Well, what else? Weren't there some other announcements in the last few days?
There was. Most people are probably forgetting about those at this point. Amazon.com had a big release. It's been about a week and a half now, I think. They redid their Kindle line, and I don't know if you have used an e-reader before.
My wife has an app, the Kindle app for the iPad.
That's a good app. Before the newest product, which is called the Fire, and I'll get to that in just a moment, the Kindle products were all e-ink e-readers, which means they just showed up like the page of a book.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't backlit. They look very flat, and a lot of people prefer those. So they've released a $79 Kindle.
$79?
$79. You can't beat that. A $99 Kindle Touch, which allows you to interact with the screen with just your hand. The $79 one, you have to click buttons to turn pages and stuff.
Oh,
God. I know.
Oh, my goodness. In the dark ages, having to click buttons, yes.
For $20 more, though, you can kiss those buttons goodbye and,
gotcha.
And feel right at home. Those connect via Wi-Fi to the Amazon store. There's a 3G Kindle Touch for $149. And then comes the newest, greatest thing from Kindle, the Kindle Fire.
What does the Fire do?
The Kindle Fire is a media consumption tablet, and it is the media consumption tablet of media consumption tablets. I say that because that's all it does. Now, that seems very limiting, but that's a lot to do, and to do it at a $200 price range, which is what makes it most exciting for people, is really good. So the Touch is a 7-inch tablet that connects to the Amazon store, and you can buy just about anything on Amazon. So it'll play music.
Mm-hmm.
It will play movies, television shows. Amazon has its own version of the Android App Store. You won't be able to access the Google Android App Store via your Kindle Fire, but you can access Amazon's, which in some ways is like a lot like what Apple does, in that Amazon curates Android apps and says, this is good enough to make it into our app store, whereas this is not.
Mm-hmm.
So that walled garden approach will help keep the quality of the apps you get on your Fire pretty high. You get free storage in the Amazon cloud of all the media you get. You've got 8 gigabytes of space on your tablet.
On the device itself.
Mm-hmm. And so you can download a bunch of stuff. Well, say I've got 2 movies and a series of a show and a couple CDs. That's probably taking up my 8 gigs. Well, I want a different movie. I can delete the movie off of my device.
But you still own it.
I still own it, and I can still download it again whenever I want from the cloud.
So you're trading with the cloud.
Precisely.
Hmm.
And that's a new technology, a new way of doing things that Apple's doing something similar to with their iTunes in the cloud.
So ideally, I buy a movie, I own it in perpetuity, because
yes,
it's always going to that cloud if I don't have it on my device.
Correct.
So at some point, now it may take some moving of things or deleting, but I can pull it back at any time.
Watch it whenever you want.
Hmm.
Great thing about using the Amazon cloud storage and the Fire, is it has Whisper Sync, which is a technology.
What now? It has what?
Whisper Sync.
Whisper Sync.
It if I'm watching a movie that mm-hmm. I own on my Amazon Kindle Fire, sorry, we'll just call it the Fire.
Okay.
Too many words. If I'm watching a movie on my Fire and I get home and want to finish that movie.
No, don't tell me.
But I don't want to watch it on my little 7-inch.
Uh-huh.
I can pull it up on my computer or other device and it will pull up exactly where I left it. And the same is true with your wife's books, with Laura's books.
Right.
On the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
She can be reading a book on her iPad in the Kindle app, and then put it down and pick it up on an e-ink device. She's reading and she's like, oh, I don't want to read on the backlit screen anymore. I'd rather switch to my nice e-book reader just dedicated for this. She can grab that and pick it up and it'll be on the page that she put down the other book.
Crazy.
On.
Crazy.
Mm. It's great technology. So, and the Fire's Wi-Fi only, so that's one of the things it did to cut the cost, and it doesn't have a camera or a microphone, so you can't do video calling like Skype or FaceTime, which are a lot of people like doing that on tablets, but it's for some people it's not a deal breaker.
So for $200, this Fire does all these things, including computer whispering or
whisper sync. Yeah.
That's right, yes, and email. That seems
and
like
email.
A pretty good price.
It's a great price. It's meant to. It's Amazon wants to take a swipe at Apple with this, and in a lot of ways, they are. And Amazon has a good reputation. And so I think if anyone is set up to do that, it'll be Amazon. I don't see it taking a huge hit in Apple's current sales, but it could deter some people who potentially want an iPad.
Because an iPad costs more than $200.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The base iPad starts at $499,
yeah,
whereas this starts at $199, and that $300 price difference is certainly going to be appealing to people when it comes to the holidays. So,
all right. So, what's on the horizon? Anything that we should be looking toward as we move to the end of the year?
Barnes & Noble is looking to release a new Nook Color 2 to compete with the Fire, I assume, and that should be coming out sometime, if not this month, then next month. And then we're still waiting for Facebook to release their iPad app and something called Project Sparta.
Oh, my goodness. What is that going to be?
It's not near as exciting as it sounds. It's simply an HTML5 version of their website. And HTML5 is a new technology that allows for better user experiences on smartphones that don't necessarily have an app per se. So they're wanting to be able to offer you a great mobile experience regardless of what smartphone you have. And so they're creating an HTML5 version of Facebook, and that is Project Sparta.
Okay. Well, once Sparta launches, we'll talk about it.
We'll have to.
Okay, Ty, thank you very much.